Hey, are you a business owner, entrepreneur, or professional? If so, we want you to apply to be a featured guest on our show. My name is Adam Torres, and I host the Mission Matters series of podcasts. I've recorded over 3,000 episodes, and we are just getting started. How do you know if you'd be a good guest to be on the show? Well, only one way to find out, and that's to apply, but I'm going to let you in on a little secret. We want guests that have a story to tell. Guests with a brand, a product, or a service that can benefit my audience of listeners. If this sounds like you, go to missionmatters.com and click on Be Our Guest to apply. I'd love to talk to you and get to know more about your story. Again, head on over to missionmatters.com and click on Be Our Guest to apply. All right, now let's get into the show.
Hey, I'd like to welcome you to another episode of Mission Matters. My name is Adam Torres. You can follow me on Instagram at AskAdamTorres. And if you'd like to apply to be a guest on the show, just head on over to missionmatters.com and click on Be Our Guest to Apply. All right. So did I have Dan Desko on the line? He is founder, CEO, and managing partner at Echelon Risk and Cyber. Dan, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much, Adam. It's great to be here.
All right, Dan. So I'm excited to get into Echelon Cyber and also just go over what's going on in cybersecurity in general. I mean, lots of people watch this, business owners, entrepreneurs, executives, experts, and they're looking for tools. They're looking for ideas, especially when it comes to cybersecurity. It's a big deal, big topic. It's at the heart of all of our business. I mean, we're all tech businesses now. That's the way I look at it. But just to get us kicked off, let's start with our signature question I ask all our guests. So Dan, we at Mission Matters, we amplify stories for entrepreneurs, executives, and experts. So that's our mission here. Dan, what mission matters to you?
Yeah, that's, I love this question, Adam. And for us, I feel like that's an easy one, you know. For us, cybersecurity is personal. So our mission as a company is we believe security and privacy are basic human rights. Mm-hmm. And our customers' data, their customers' data, you know, should be protected as basic human rights. Mm-hmm. And it's our calling. We truly believe it is our calling to protect those rights. A lot of organizations in cyber talk about what they do. Mm-hmm. But there's very few that I would say that can articulate why they do what we do. Mm-hmm. So we felt that, you know, we had an opportunity to talk about how we do things differently and how our mission is at the core of really everything we do. We know why we're in this business. We make our mission a human-driven one, because at the end of the day, when you take away all the bells, the whistles, the fancy technology, everything that's going on in tech, I mean, really all that matters at the end of the day is, you know, the human element behind it, right? So it's our data, it's our personal data, it's our browsing data, it's mm-hmm. it's our health care records, it's protecting the companies where we work, right? So that's what really matters to us most. Mm.
Well, thank you for sharing that. And I love bringing mission-based entrepreneurs and executives on the show to share why they do what they do. I mean, it's important. So Dan, we'll go further into Echelon Cyber in a moment. But first off, like, how'd you get started as an entrepreneur and really just on this entrepreneurial journey?
Yeah, sure. I guess you could always say I've had a little entrepreneurial blood in me since an early age. I grew up in Pittsburgh, which is very much a blue collar town. And my family on both my mom and my dad's side were, you know, both very blue collar growing up. Mm-hmm. So I'd say that instilled really a hard work ethic in me from an early age. You know, from an early age, I was doing things like shoveling snow in the wintertime for everybody on the block, or in the summertime, visiting my grandfather and my dad's side in New York, picking up pop cans on the side of the road to turn in for 5 cents. And then, you know, as I progressed in age, I was able to get some other, you know, jobs over time and things like caddying and working at the golf course and doing all the outside work at the golf course. And that's really code for cleaning people's clubs, carrying people's clubs, washing their golf carts. So I guess I mean to say that, you know, very early on that work ethic was, you know, woven into the fabric of who I am. We always had to, you know, work for a living. So I think with that growing up, I never really felt entitled to anything and knew that, you know, if I wanted to get what I wanted out of this life, right, I really would have to work for it. So even after I completed grad school, I had side hustles, right? I like to say I had side hustles before they were called side hustles and before they were, you know, a cool thing to have a side hustle, right? For example, when I finished my MBA, I wanted to do something to put some of those skills to work to be able to pay off my school loans. Mind you, I got my MBA while I was working full-time. So I got my MBA part-time.
Yeah.
So while working full-time, while getting my MBA full-time, I started a t-shirt company, which turned out to be wildly successful. It was a lot of Pittsburgh-based themes. And I ended up, you know, getting shirts into Urban Outfitter retailers.
Wow.
Had my shirts in the back of, you know, numerous hometown celebrities like Mac Miller. I've always had a little bit of that spirit in my blood, right? Mm-hmm. And transferring that into professional services, you know, even at my last position where I worked at an accounting firm, I was able to create one of the largest cybersecurity practices that an accounting firm has had, right? Right in, you know, the Pittsburgh and Columbus area. So
wow,
it's always been kind of woven, you know, throughout my character, I'd say.
Man, that's an interesting story. I'm like, wait a minute, Mac Miller's wearing your shirts, like a t-shirt company. You were a t-shirt company guy. I'm like, I feel like all of us are united. Like all the people out there that had the t-shirt side hustle. I did that. I didn't have a t-shirt company, but this is way when I was a kid. Like, I mean, young, I used to airbrush t-shirts. So we're going way back when, and I sold them. So now I'm like, I love when somebody tells me they sold t-shirts. I have that me too moment. Yeah. Awesome. Man, I love the hustle.
Yeah, for me, Adam, what I loved about it was during work at that time,
yeah,
I would say I didn't get the chance to be all that creative with what I was able to do at work. So for me, that was a really fun way for me to like express my creative side and, you know, do something that I thought was a whole heck of a lot of fun.
Yeah.
And, you know, paid some bills with, you know, that money.
So, you know, there's some other people watching this right now that they got, you know, they got hustle too. They have drive, but there's a difference between like being able to just have in a creative outlet and also making some money. So one of the key things here is that you were, you know, MBA student, you're working, you're like, and you start a company that's successful and you make money with it. Like, and it's a passion project, I would argue. You went into it with wanting to make money, but I'm guessing you didn't probably think it was going to get as big as it did as quickly. So that being said, there's some people watching this right now that maybe they got some things they want to do. What kind of advice would you give to that person that wants that side hustle right now? Like, what's interesting?
Yeah, my advice would be you can't half-ass it. So, you know, you really have to go at, you know, what you want and go at it hard. If you try to just dabble in it and think you're going to spend an hour or two here or there to try to make that side hustle work,
yeah,
you're probably not going to get it going, right? Mm-hmm. So, I mean, I remember I spent a lot of long nights, a lot of weekend time, you know, giving up to make that happen. Especially like when we got to the point where we are shipping shirts to Urban Outfitters, yeah, that totally changed the game. There was a whole supply chain model we had to follow and tagging the shirts and putting them in bags and folding them a certain way. So it takes real work and you have to be ready to commit to that. And that would be my advice is, you know, go all in if you're going to do it.
Awesome. Love it. All right, let's get back to cybersecurity. You got me excited about t-shirts here, man. We got to get back to the topic, right?
Do it. Yep.
So what are you seeing right now in cybersecurity? I mean, well, let me, I guess, tee this up a little better. So you work with, you know, mid-sized companies, work with large companies, you're working on lots of different cybersecurity, you know, issues and challenges and processes. Like, what are you seeing overall going on in the cybersecurity landscape right now?
Yeah, I mean, I would say cybersecurity, it's kind of not a lot going on there right now. It's kind of slow. You know, not a whole heck. No, I'm totally kidding. Cybersecurity is one of those.
I already know. Now. You're like, yeah, nothing going. I was waiting for you. I'm like, oh, really? Okay.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of crazy in hindsight to look back, you know, the cybersecurity industry and where it's come over the last few years. But
yeah,
I will say, you know, the landscape in cyber has really shifted, has really changed. You know, one of the, I think there's a couple of reasons for those changes and why things have been accelerating. Mm-hmm. One is the technology that we use every day, either as consumers or businesses,
yeah,
evolves so rapidly. I think it's hard for businesses and for consumers, frankly, to just keep up with it all, mm-hmm, let alone secure that and stay on top of how do we secure all these new things like cloud and containers and microservices, so on and so forth, right? So just when, you know, people think they've conquered one area or learned how to secure one thing, there's like, yeah, these 10 other things that pop up. So that's one of the big reasons why I think cyber is changing so rapidly. But on the other side of that, and this is like pouring gasoline on the fire, is the mm-hmm fact that the threat actors that we face mm-hmm have really evolved rapidly with the technology, right? Mm-hmm. So you look at these new attack vectors today, like ransomware. Mm-hmm. You know, a few years ago, ransomware was barely a serious thought, right? Like there, yeah, would be some one-off, like, hey, this person's laptop got hit with ransomware and they paid $300. Like, okay, you know, not sure, a big deal. So there was a little bit of that, you know, 3, 4, or 5 years ago. Now, today, ransomware software is so easy to procure. You know, it's called ransomware as a service now. Wow. So, you know, a budding entrepreneur, and I do not recommend trying this at home, but a budding ransomware entrepreneur could go out and purchase all the tools they need and stage those and get ready to start executing their own ransomware attacks in under a day.
Oh my gosh.
And so all of a sudden, you know, the landscape has completely changed.
Hmm.
You know, in the past, it used to be financial institutions, healthcare companies, and a few other industries really were the ones that cared about cyber. They really took a hard look and made investments because mm-hmm they had the data that hackers wanted to steal, right? Yeah. Now, the whole game has changed. Those hackers are still out there. They still want to steal that data. They still mm-hmm want to grab that data, right? But everybody else now has to worry about things like ransomware.
Yeah.
So you've got these companies like manufacturers mm-hmm or government entities or not-for-profits. You know, the list goes on and on and on.
Yeah.
Organizations that traditionally have not made big investments in cybersecurity or have had to pay attention, all of a sudden need to pay extreme attention.
Yeah.
And on top of that, they're trying to catch up, you know, over the last 20 years of really malnutrition in the cyberspace and not mm-hmm enough care and feeding. So you got all these industries playing catch up. You have these brand new threat actors that are looking at this like a feeding frenzy.
Yeah.
Right. They're just going to town on these industries that are highly vulnerable. Yeah. That is my take on sort of, you know, the 50,000 foot view of what's going on in the industry today.
Yeah. And we'll dig deeper here, but to preface that though, I do want to go further into Echelon Cyber. So, because I want to talk about some, you know, obviously some specific ways that business owners should be thinking about cyber, like tools, things like that. So I definitely want to give some resources. And at the end of this, of course, I'll give you the opportunity to leave information for Echelon Cyber. So if somebody wants to follow up, they can. But let's just start with the company itself. So tell us a little bit more about the company itself.
Yeah. So, you know, the kind of origin story is I worked in IT for a while. Turned out my IT knowledge and IT experience was very valuable in the consulting mm-hmm world, specifically in financial services. So being in Pittsburgh, I worked at U.S. Steel for a while. U.S. Steel had mainframe technology. Well, guess who else used the mainframe technology? Banks. So a lot of that experience, you know, for me, shifted me into the consulting world. So early on in my career, I got into consulting and I worked for accounting firms. Most recently, I spent, you know, over 10 years at a regional public accounting firm where I did a lot of IT risk work and compliance work. I would say one of the things that didn't sit well with me sometimes in the work that I did was, you know, we would do a lot of these exercises for compliance and risk mitigation and in some cases some box checking, right? Mm-hmm. And I knew at the end of the day, even after we did all of this work, that these companies would still be vulnerable to modern day type of hacking techniques and attacks. Mm. So I felt like we were doing all of this work and like the value proposition was there, but it wasn't tremendous, right?
Got it.
So I didn't feel like we were making a huge difference. Mm-hmm. Yes, we were helping companies meet their compliance requirements, which is, you know, base level, like, yes, they need to do that.
Right.
But I love to say like, hey, while we have the hood up to do compliance work and, you know, we're changing the oil, changing the air mm-hmm. filters, like, let's give the engine a true tune up while we're in there. Right. Like, let's do some things that are value add, some things that really move the needle mm-hmm. on what's possible. Right. So that's where I got into starting, you know, value added cybersecurity services within my old firm and creating a brand new organization mm-hmm. and department within my old firm specific to these value added types of services. Mm-hmm. So for me, that was really a big turning point in my career because I saw how valuable those were, mm-hmm. Those services were, and how much our clients needed them and how much our clients wanted those types of services, right?
Yeah.
So that was a huge turning point, I think, for me. And getting into Echelon and you know, starting Echelon, for me, that was a perfect opportunity, right? I get the chance to create a brand new firm that is mission driven, that is looking to be value add, that is looking to be connected to the community and to our clients in a way that, you know, I truly love. So for me, I really wanted that opportunity to get to build something with a purpose from the ground up. You know, the landscape I talked about before in cybersecurity, mm-hmm. the landscape of service providers talks a lot about what they do and they hammer what they do, but no one really talks about why they do it. Right.
Yeah.
And we felt like if we focused on that mission, we'd be very successful at recruiting the right types of people that we want in our organization. Mm-hmm. If we recruit those right types of individuals within our organization, those are going to be exactly the types of people that our clients want to work with. Mm-hmm. Right. So that was extremely exciting and invigorating for me because I knew that model was going to be very successful and it has been so far.
So the logo, the name, I mean, how'd you choose that? Like, I think there's a story back there.
Oh man. Yeah. So working on choosing a name that is like, I feel like one of the toughest things ever, right? A lot of late nights, you know, pouring myself a drink, sitting around in silence with my thoughts and thinking of what do I want this company to be, mm-hmm. right? What is the meaning behind what we're trying to do? Mm-hmm. And the name is supposed to embody that, right? You know, yeah, I could have slapped, you know, Desco Partners LLC on a shingle and not thought twice about it and, you know, went about my business, mm-hmm. but I knew that wouldn't have any meaning other than to me and maybe my parents, right? So I really wanted a name that that would resonate with our employees and with our mm-hmm. clients in the marketplace. So the way that I explain Echelon is that the Echelon formation is a old military formation. It is mm-hmm. a formation that has probably been used for hundreds or, geez, probably thousands of years, really.
Yeah.
So it's a formation where it creates a staggered front. So if you see our logo, it's kind of staggered like this, mm-hmm. right? So that Echelon formation creates that staggered front. And that staggered front has a lot of meaning to it. Mm. It gives you a much wider, you know, field of vision mm-hmm. on, you know, the battlefield, right? It also gives you much more protection. So I was like, man, that really makes a lot of sense for what we're trying to do, right? Like, I didn't want the name to be very overtly militaristic and sound mm-hmm. like, you know, like death metal hardcore kind of, you know, kind of name. But Echelon sounded to me like, hey, it sounds strategic.
Mm-hmm.
It's not too hardcore, has a ton of meaning behind what we're trying to do.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, for me, it just felt right. And every time I challenged it or came up with other ideas or circulated the ideas with people, you know, my circles, you know, we always kept gravitating back to Echelon. It just felt right.
So I want to go further into, thank you for sharing that. So I want to go further into really, you know, again, business owners are watching this right now, you know, people that do, you know, IT procurement, other things like that, they decide what companies they want to work with, like what, and things are changing fast. One of the things that you've highlighted multiple times in this interview so far is that like things are moving fast. Cybersecurity is moving fast. Threats are moving fast. Like just different ways that people can come, you know, can potentially blindside you on something that you were not prepared for is what it comes down to. You know, devices are changing. Like it's all changing. It's going fast. Like what are some, I don't expect, of course, on a, you know, a 30-minute podcast interview to solve everybody's problems, but we get that. That's not going to happen. But like, how should people be thinking about this? Like if you're somebody that's sitting back, I'll throw out a random example for you. Somebody sitting back, maybe you have a couple million in revenue. You're sitting back and you're thinking, you know, we haven't looked at this in a while. We haven't thought about like any of the things they're talking about. We have revenue. We have lots of systems. We probably added some systems that I don't, that maybe top level management isn't quite aware of what they are altogether. You know, as the businesses grow, certain things might get away from you slightly. But they want to revisit like the structure and everything. Like, where do they start? Like, where does someone start thinking about this at from?
Yeah, I would say, you know, if you're a small business, just sitting back and saying, hey, where do I need to focus? And I don't have a ton of budget or a ton of money to focus on that. I would say, think about the basics, right? Mm-hmm. And go back to some of the basics in information security and cybersecurity. Mm-hmm. There are a lot of simple things that you could do that will make your organization, I'll call it, not so much of a opportunistic target, right?
Yeah.
Small businesses, medium-sized businesses, they are more targets for opportunistic types of attacks. The large scale, what we call sort of spray, the hackers spray and they pray.
Yeah.
So they'll send out mass phishing campaigns, mass spam, mass types of attacks.
Sure.
And they'll see who falls for it, what comes back, and then dig into what might be a juicy target. So with that, I would say start to focus on the basics that make you less of an opportunistic attack. Mm-hmm. Do things like, okay, your passwords that you use for your company, make sure that they're not the same passwords that you used in MySpace back in 2008. You know, because MySpace was hacked. And if you use that same password today for your company, you know, there's this thing called password reuse where hackers have that database of billions of previously exposed passwords. And they have tools that are automatically trying those passwords all over the place. So don't reuse your passwords. Actually ditch the idea of passwords altogether and use what I like to call a passphrase. So you know, put three or four words together that only have meaning to you. And that length makes it exponentially harder for hackers to try to guess or crack those types of passwords. And then it's all about thinking about how you do business. What applications you use, how you use them, and thinking about how someone might get into them, take advantage of them. Mm-hmm. So do you have two-factor authentication set up, you know, for simple things that you use in your everyday life? Like I always recommend, hey, start in your personal life, you know, start by putting 2FA on your Facebook, on your Twitter, on your Instagram, on your LinkedIn.
Yeah.
And then if you do that, if you follow those things in your personal life, that should just, I'll say automatically or ultimately carry over into your work life as well.
And so let's say that, okay, so that's for the small business. Let's work our way up a little bit. So let's say that, you know, now we're talking to that mid-tier business. So there is, you know, there's more budget, there's more, it's more complex. They have more to risk and more, you know, obviously more to lose there. So they have to be more aware of the cybersecurity threats. I mean, have to be, there's more at risk. Like what should they be thinking about in today's cybersecurity space?
what's funny is, you know, I've worked for and done consulting for businesses of all size. And I've done a lot of work in the financial services space, everything from, you know, a one branch bank that is in the middle of the countryside, all the way through some of your, you know, biggest banks, multinational institutions in the world. And the funny thing is, they all have the same problems.
Interesting.
It's just different size and scale. So, you know, when we talk about password reuse, right? Well, if you're at the small bank, right, you know, you have a very small set of users. So it's maybe a little bit easier to manage.
Yeah.
The problems just get exponentially bigger when you are at a, you know, a mid-tier institution or a very large institution. A lot of the same principles, axioms still apply, but where the additional risk comes in is the digital footprint of these organizations is much larger.
Yeah.
So it becomes more challenging in managing it. And to manage it successfully at that scale, you need a lot of organization, and you really need people who think of cybersecurity as a strategic enabler for the business and not just sort of like a one-time check the box and it's over. Right.
Yeah.
So I would say as you get into the mid-tier to larger businesses, you really need to look at cybersecurity as a strategic enabler, something that is deserving of a regular voice within the organization and something that needs to be thought of in business strategy and business operations that requires constant care, organization, and feeding. So to me, I could spout off a whole laundry list of controls, but the truth of the matter is those apply no matter what. It's just a matter of size, scale, and organization.
So Dan, that was great. I mean, give me an example. Like, give me an example of what it's like to work with Echelon Cyber.
Yeah, sure. Thanks, Adam. I would say a recent example that was really good, and we just got client feedback on it, so much so that they said they would happily do a case study for us, which I was blown away because
that's awesome.
In those, I mean, that rarely happens, right? Usually I have to pull teeth, ask clients, like, hey, can you please do a case study with us? They actually said at the end of our closing call with them, like, this was a fantastic experience. You know, we'll do a case study. What we did, we helped an organization with a penetration testing engagement. And their goal was to really get a sense for how their defenses, all the new things that they've been working on, would really stand up to an attack. But they didn't want us to do it in a black box, right? They wanted to be informed along the way. They wanted to have a sense for what we were doing and how we were doing it. And one of the things that we like to do is we like to ask our customers, like, hey, you know, we could send somebody on site to do this testing and you could literally sit there in the room with them and we'll put our laptop up on the big screen. We could show you the tools that we're running, why we're running them, and exactly what they're doing and how we're taking advantage of, you know, either misconfigurations or vulnerabilities in your systems live, right? So that way, our customers not only get that report at the end, but they're getting the real live, up-to-the-minute sort of input on exactly how a threat actor would take advantage of some of the things that, you know, they might not have thought of. And that has really resonated well. I think so much in this industry, it's like this black box. Like, people get hired to do these engagements, they go off and do them, and then you don't hear from them until the end of the thing. And they, you know, slap a report down on your desk and it's like, see you later, right? We want to turn all that on its head. We want to open it up and show our clients, in the spirit of raising their capabilities, just what we do and how we do it. And at the end of this engagement, they said that they learned so much, not only about, you know, the types of tools we used, but just exactly why we picked those things that we did and the tactics, techniques, procedures we pulled out of our bag, right? So that approach has been wildly successful for us. Our clients love it. You know, our employees love it because they're seeing the difference that it makes. You know, talk about making a difference in a client's life, right? And being able to, like, really help them see those aha moments. I mean, it's a really rewarding and fulfilling thing to do. So it's been paying dividends for us.
Man, that's awesome. When somebody engages Echelon Cyber, what does that look like? Whether it's for any of those, like, does it start with an assessment? Does it start with give us a feel for that part of it?
Yeah. So we have this assess, comply, build mentality where we essentially start by taking that hard look at what the client's currently doing, do that initial assessment, help them, comply and get over the bar of those compliance hurdles, and then really help them bolt on and build on from there. Right. And then we iterate, we do it again and again and again. It's really that iterative approach where we try to take things from, compliance and like I mentioned earlier, doing the basics to really over the long term, building up our clients' capabilities.
And it sounds to me like you can really work with people where they're at. So meaning you can serve as that executive function if they don't have that person or that team in place, or if they do, but they need some other things, like maybe they don't have the stress testing part of it, the offense side, or maybe they're missing, they want to get the audit side done, or maybe they you can work with their existing teams and infrastructure too. So it seems to me like you can really cover it kind of across the board. Am I right on that?
Yeah, you're totally right. At the end of the day, we help our clients fill capabilities that they don't have in-house. And these are capabilities that they probably don't need full-time and they need on a discrete basis. But what drives us is we want to raise our clients' capabilities too over time. Okay. Mm-hmm. So back in line to our mission of making sure that, believing that security and privacy are basic human rights. Mm-hmm. Well, our clients are also there to protect those same rights. And if we could help raise their capabilities up, we want to teach them where to fish where possible and give them the tools to do so. Right. In some ways, we almost try to, work ourselves out of business over time. it's one of those things where, if our clients build up their capabilities and in 5 years, they no longer need us for that certain thing. Well, that's fine. That means we've done our job.
Awesome. So Dan, first off, this has been great. So I have to ask, so what's next for you? What's next for Echelon Cyber? What's next?
Yeah, I think so much is next, right? It's just a matter of trying to manage what is next and what should be next. So I think, the sky is the limit as far as what we are capable of doing. We have such a talented team right now, and we continue to add talented new team members. So for us, I would say what's next is just, explosive growth and trying to manage that appropriately, making sure that, we're still able to satisfy our current client needs successfully. While still giving people on our team the ability to do the good work that they love to do, right? And we take a lot of pride in giving cybersecurity professionals opportunities that they may have never had before, too, right? So we're going to continue to look for people in our cyber communities that, might be a little bored with their job, with their day job. They might not be getting the chance to grow professionally. We want to be that space for those types of professionals in the marketplace where they look at Echelon as, hey, you know what? I could really go to Echelon and help do some pretty cool work there, work that is, meaningful and helps make a difference within our communities and at our clients.
Fantastic. Well, Dan, been great having you on the show. If somebody's watching this right now and they want to learn more about Echelon Cyber, what's the best way for them to follow up and to connect with you and your team?
Yeah, I would say definitely please follow me on LinkedIn. Go to LinkedIn, search for Dan Desko, connect with me, follow me. I'm regularly posting sort of up to the minute, cutting edge information on what's going on in the cyber world quite regularly. And then on top of that, you could visit our website at echeloncyber.com. And at the top along the navigation bar, click on intelligence. There you will have the ability to sign up for our weekly blog, Cyber Intelligence Weekly, where I am curating the world's top cyber news and send it directly to you in your mailbox Monday morning. So I would say those are the best ways to connect with us on a regular basis.
Awesome. Well, Dan, again, awesome having you on the show today and learning more about your background, how you got started on this journey as an entrepreneur, but also your mission behind Echelon Cyber and why you do what you do and how you're helping your clients. I think it's a great story. I'm glad to bring it to my audience. And everybody watching, by the way, if this is your first time watching, don't forget to hit that subscribe button. Have many more mission-based entrepreneurs, executives, and experts coming on. And we definitely want you to not miss a thing. So hit that subscribe button so you can catch all the upcoming episodes. And Dan, it has been a pleasure. Again, excellent connecting and wishing you and Echelon Security much, much more continued success. So thank you.
Yeah, Adam, pleasure was all mine. I appreciate your time. Thank you so much.